This is the seventh in a series of Australia Remembers tapes. This interview is with Mrs. Kath Jones of Berwick, and it's recorded on Monday, the 28th of August, 1995.
Well, it's 60 years ago, this November, since my family moved to Narre Warren North. My father had been a First World War soldier. Came down to a soldier settlement block, Narre Warren North, and then I've got five brothers, and I had five sisters and three brothers. And
What was your name? Edwards.
I was Kathleen Edwards, and I started school at Narre Warren North, and we used to walk 2.5 miles, I guess, to school and back in all weathers. And
many people at the school then?
Pardon?
Many children at the school?
There were just two rooms then, so I guess there were, to me, it was a big school because we'd come from such a small school with only about 10 children, so I'm not sure, it was a lot of children. And we went there with my brothers and sisters, and then I went to long term, in those days it was 8th grade, that was and a merit certificate at the finish, and that was the schooling, because there was no high school close handy, Dandenong, but no buses. We were very rural community with no cars, so we didn't have car, and the only way you could have gone would have been ride a bicycle all those miles up to the highway, catch a bus, which would have been 3 or 4 miles each day and everything like that. Anyway, I didn't have a bicycle, so therefore I left school at 14. But then I'd stay home and help Mum, because we were milking cows too. And then, for a couple of years, I suppose, and then war came in 1939, and my brother, he joined the AIF, and was prisoner of war for 4.5 years with Germany. He also won the BEM, British Empire Medal, for bravery. And my sister, she joined the Australian Women's Army, and she was away for quite 4 or 5 years. Mostly in Canberra. Then came my turn, and I joined the Land Army because I knew at this stage things were starting to, get a bit desperate in places, So, and manpower short, and I joined up, and I just went in, and in 2 days' time I was with a uniform and going up to Yan Yean to a farm up there.
Where did you go to join?
Victoria Street, I think, isn't it? Oh, I'm not quite sure it was. In Melbourne, anyway. Well, yeah, I can't remember the exactly near, so many years ago. And we went there, and caught the motor train, which was no electric train, up to Yan Yean, and the people were there, were supposed to come and meet me, but no, they'd had a family funeral that day and gone off somewhere else and forgotten about me coming. So in those days, signposts had all been taken down, because if the invaders came along, well, they wouldn't know where they were. Well, in that actual fact, we didn't know where we were either. because of the, well, if you went out of your own district, you had no idea what street you were in or anywhere. So in due course, I waited for a while and said nothing happened. So I thought, well, I've got to find my way there. So a boy came along on a bicycle. I knew the name of the people I were going to, so he said, oh, they're about 2.5 miles up the road. So I trudge up there, and when I get there, there's someone there. And from then on, I just, there was another girl, a landowner girl there. She'd been there a week or perhaps a few weeks beforehand, but not very long. And she was a bit older than what I was. We settled in quite well, and we just milked these 200 cows morning and night, and we're out of bed at 5 o'clock every morning. We never seemed to get sick or anything, because I think the lady that our boss's wife, she was sort of into cures that were sort of more cure you than cure you, but we didn't let on if we had sore throats, and I had a few sore throats. And so we went along and did the job that men do, you know. Every day we got up and did those cows, and we cleaned up after, we mixed up all the feed, and we chopped all the wood. And in my spare time, I helped the carpenter there that was pretty old, and they were building a share farmer's cottage, and they needed someone to go up the ladder with the bricks, and that was my job in between all this other thing. So that went on brick after brick up to the top, up the ladder and everything. So anyway, we finally got it finished and looked quite nice. So that was one job out of the way. But before I could take those bricks up, they were second hand, so I had to clean all the concrete with a hammer. I sat there with a hammer hammering away to get them all ready, and then on the days it took us to do it, I was there to take them up. And anyway, that was the job. We used to go out with the horse and dray and chop the wood, bring it all in. We had one weekend a month off, and with all this we got paid £2 a week. But I think when I first started, because I was young, I think I got 30 shillings really for that. And we didn't go many places. We walked about 6 or 7 miles to see an amateur thing of Desert Song. It was a light lyric opera company put that on. Oh, it was lovely. We sat there and enjoyed every minute of it, but we didn't think about coming home. We had 4 miles to go back down through the bush home again. And we went to, they had a lovely supper and all those sort of thing. But we did go to a couple of dances and things, but we found out that we were just one of the mob. When you got there, you sort of want to have a little chat about something different, but they'd say, was that your Jersey cow that got over there? How many are you milking? And have you got the oats in yet? You know, we didn't get the sort of social life that we thought we would, you know, by going out to the dances. So, and there wasn't too many people to dance with either, but anyway, we enjoyed ourselves, and they thought that we were probably not too well fed and brought all these cream cakes around and all those sort of things. But in actual fact, we were very, very well looked after, because Mrs. Woods was a beautiful cook. She loved cooking, and of course, by the time we got there, and after all these meals and everything, you know, that the meals were lovely, and we sort of were very hungry by the time, because we'd start work at 5 o'clock, and about 7 o'clock they'd bring morning tea over, and in between all dirty cows and everything. You'd have bread and jam and a cup of tea, which in those days they called a piece. A bread and jam was a piece. So we had a piece and a cup of tea. And then later on, about 8 o'clock when we finished, we'd go home over the house for a breakfast, which was a delicious breakfast. And then we'd go out in our doing the other jobs of cleaning up and everything else that was sort of had to be done round about. You know, they had sheep too, and the shearers came in to do those, thank goodness. And but we used to have to look after, find, put them in different paddocks and things like that. And then they did, because they had a few sheep, they didn't have a wool press, and guess who the wool press was? Us, in this big bag, and jump in, push it all down. But before that, we cleaned it all up. We threw the dirty bits that way and the better bits that way, and the nice pieces we put in the bag. So we had three sort of bags, and the dirty ones we didn't do too much with, but the clean stuff, that was, we were the wool press for that. So when we got out of that, we were quite, we smelt pretty nice actually. And those were those sort of things.
How many years were you out there?
Oh, about two years. And when we used to, when one went home, the other one had some, the girl of the house used to come and help, because she was about my, she was 2 years older, but she was there. But they didn't use the milk from that we milked and looked after. She had her own set of cows, and they did their own separating and made their own butter and everything. But when one of us girls were away, she would come in and help us out, which she was quite good and really a nice girl too. And got on well, because we used to go to the dances with her, and a boyfriend had a car, so that was handy. then we had share farmers sometimes come in and live in this house that they built for them. But everything would be going fine, and we'd only have half the cows to do, and then we'd just have other things to get the oats ready and all those sort of things. We'd have more jobs to do, and the sheep and things like that. But during the night, sometimes share farmers would go, just leave, just pack up and go. They'd be gone in the morning. We'd have this whole lot of cows thrushed back onto us to do, and we wouldn't be expecting them, even though we still got up early. And Mr. Woods, he was good, but he was on so many milk boards and all that, and he was, I've got to get it right now, because BDC, you know, the, like, Dad's Army type thing, militia. You know.
The militia?
No, he was going around. They had the men, the older ones that stayed home, sort of were, I suppose they were like a bit of a home guard, where they went round making sure blackouts were out and everything was done right. And, you know, they had little meetings and in the hall, and at Narrewarren North they had them too, and they had them everywhere like that. So he was quite busy with that sort of thing, because we lived right next door to the Yanyuan Reservoir, and that was guarded day and night by special soldiers that came here in trucks and went away again, you know. We lived really, we were next door to that, so that had to be well looked after, and any suspicious characters that came around were well looked into.
Did you go home to Narrewarren North on your weekends off?
Yes, it took me, I'd leave up there about 11 o'clock, and the old carpenter man, he had a motorbike and sidecar, so he would drop us, he would let us take us down in the sidecar, and to the station, but he wouldn't stop just on the road. He'd wheel us right up onto this platform, you know, to get out of it and shake ourselves up, and then we'd come home. Took till Saturday night late to get home, and then Sunday. I still lived on a farm, so I used to get up, and I didn't have to, but I got up and looked around, you know, and it wasn't much different coming home. There's nowhere to go much, but I saw Mum, and that was it, because Dad was in the army. He'd been in the First World War, and then second time round he went in as a garrison man, and he was at guards on the train, but he didn't go out of Australia, and he just took the train up to Albury, and with the ammunition, and then he'd come back on the next train or somehow or another, I'm not sure about that, and then he would, there was a murder around in Melbourne, a murderer running loose in Leonski, or don't you remember? No, you would. You've probably read about him. He was an American, and there were about four girls murdered, and my father then was assigned to the AWAS to meet all the trams and bring them back to their stations, and you know, we'd have gun over shoulder and all that sort of thing. And he did that. He was at Batman Avenue, that's in Melbourne. It's also Kilda Road, down that way, isn't it? Mm. So he was there, and that's his job was those sort of jobs, and mostly with munitions, though, he was on the trains going back and forth.
How long after the war ended did you leave Yanyin and come back?
I left before the war finished up there because I had a throat. I was in hospital, I think, when the war finished with the tonsils, 19 or 20, 19 and a half. And I was really sick. I was in there for nearly a month. And because I used to get affected with the loose and hay, you know, it used to really affect me, and so that's where I think I was in there, but around about when the war finished, I was there you know, I came back home again, and Narre Warren North was a lovely place. It's a very nice, it's different now because a lot of people are new. But in the old time when we were there, it was really a friendly, lovely community, spirited place, and the ladies were all worked together and things like that. And my mother was, I think she's president of the prisoner of war, my brother being a prisoner of war, she was raising money for send parcels to them as with the other ladies, but I think she's
prisoner. She'd be in the Red Cross.
Yes, she was in Red Cross. Yes, Narre Warren North Red Cross. And she made camouflage nets. You know a camouflage net? Well, big net made out of twine. You used to have a big net, and they used them for throwing over top of things, and then they put all twigs all over the top, you know, to camouflage things. She made those at home, and had a hook on the wall and a needle and all that. And she also taught the boys in, I'm not sure which grade, I suppose it would have been about sixth grading up at the Narre Warren North School. She taught them how to do it. They sent away quite a few camouflage nets, you know, to the war effort. They would go into Melbourne, be around there. So, those sort of things went on all the time. And I think, you know, for those few years I was away, I wasn't quite sure what was going on really around the place, but I know we had blackout lights on cars. By this time Mum had a car and had just a little split like this where you could see through, and we had her, I know she had blackouts on curtains and no lights and things. Well, Narrewarren North never had electricity till 1946, so I mean we didn't have too many lights around the place, and you know, most of it was just lamps and kerosene lanterns and things like that. So those sort of things were that we sort of had around here, and so I think it was, you know, there was gas producers too, you wouldn't know. They were a great big monstrosity on front of a car, and you put coke in those and poured it in a top and put a match into it and lit like a fire. And that, when that started making gas, you could switch it on and that drove the car along. But you had to have these big bags of coke in the back or on the top or on the side or wherever.
And how far would you get?
I think on a bag of coke it would go quite a few ways, but then you were, so petrol was rationed and clothes and sugar and tea and what else was there? Sugar and tea and I think that might have been it. I'm not sure if I wasn't cooking in those days, so I didn't know, but I know I went off sugar. I never had sugar in the tea now because of the brown sugar, but that wasn't, I don't think you had coupon for that. Maybe you did or maybe you didn't, but anyway, when you had that in your tea, that was terrible, so I just knocked off sugar altogether because I couldn't stand. I've never taken it on again, and I don't have, and never have milk in the tea because of, I know that the cows got in the, you know, they get in the turnips and it goes right through and oh, it's a terrible strong smell. So I got some of that once and makes the butter go funny too, homemade of course, not other thing. And that put my milk, so I'm just a black tea now and that's it. And
did you notice much difference to Narrewarren North when you got back after the war?
No, we did. I thought it. No, by this time some of the soldiers were coming home, and my brother came home after being away from the time he was 18 to when he was a grown up man, and my sisters came home, and. Brothers and sisters younger than me had grown up quite a bit, and then the dances just went on the same, and everything seemed to settle back to normal. But it was one sad thing. One of the boys from never came home, and one of the boy Newtons, they had the store at Narrewarren North, and Mrs. Newton had five sons at the war at one stage. And that they didn't all enlist from Narrewarren North, but they were in the Air Force and from other parts, and they were a big family. I think she had five boys and one girl, and one boy didn't come home. He was up in the islands, he died. And so, but the mothers, they got a badge given to them, and Every son you had overseas in active service, you got a star. So she had this badge and she had five stars. Mum had one, of course, because she only had one son active over there. But it was nerve-wracking while the war was on because you never knew when the telegram was going to come. And I remember the day that, Mum found out that my brother was missing. It was a pretty terrible day. They sent a telegram, and then I also remember the time when we found out he was alive and a prisoner of war in Germany. So that was a pretty good, nice time to know that he was still alive and well. But when he was coming home, was another story. You know, so just had to wait and wait and wait. It was always a waiting game. Mm. Too many other things in the future.